Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, your regular host, and also founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, dedicated to bringing genuine choice into cancer care and to empowering those with cancer through those choices. My guest this week is returning to the show for the second time, but under very changed personal circumstances. Dagmara Biney, as a result of her own monumental efforts to support her daughter, Azusa, became an expert in integrative oncology and wrote the first book to seriously address the integrative care of children with cancer. Since we last spoke, Dagmara has lost her precious daughter, but has pressed on with even more determination than ever to change the lot of parents and children affected by cancer. Dagmara, so nice to be speaking to you again.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so the last time I spoke to you, your daughter Azusa was still alive. I seem to remember she was quite ill at the time, but she was definitely alive. And you'd recently published your amazing book, Parents Guide to Childhood Cancer, a blockbuster, nothing like it ever come out before. And I was so happy to see that. You know, tragically, your daughter has died not that long after I last spoke to you. In fact, my heart goes out to you. Been there. I know the immense devastation and this, I don't know, disbelief in the way that a life can just go poof like that, and an entire person, all their experience, all of who they are, just poof like that. It's just an extraordinary thing, and you can't ever quite get your head around it. Much love to you.
Yeah, it's such a surreal experience to bring a child into the world, but also hold them as they transition out of this world. And I think it takes a while for, our body physically feels that right away. But I think it takes a while on purpose for our brain to catch up to exactly what you just spoke about.
Yeah.
The fact that this person is, that you'll never see them again.
You can't compute, can you? Now, I think it's a kind of safety mechanism, right? You say it's a bit like when you fall over and you really hurt yourself. You don't feel it immediately, do you? You know?
Yes.
It's because it's just too much. It's sort of overload mechanism we have. Yeah. Anyway, amazingly, you seem to have barely slowed down since then, from my perspective on the other side of the Atlantic here. You ploughed on with ever more passion for what you've been doing for the last decade and more. You were doing it on behalf of Azusa, but all the while you're also doing it on behalf of every parent and every child in this situation, which is why you produced that amazing book. But here you are on the eve of producing your next book very shortly after. So I just want to say that, what you achieved there in giving Azusa, I mean, when I last spoke to you, she was already at least a decade past any possible hope of staying alive, I think. And it's an extraordinary thing. I get this sense all too often that in these kind of situations, which do feature extraordinary life extension and quality of life improvement, that, you know, when it leads to death, it's somehow seen as like, you know, that's almost the defining factor. And it's not at all, you know, it's just like, wait a minute, you know, look what was created here. You know, the immense positivity that integrative medicine and the whole, everything that it brings with it. I mean, integrative medicine is a bit too dry a title for the whole package that you describe that we can bring to somebody else when we support them in this rounded, fully human way.
Yeah, I think that Azusa was, just like you said, a perfect example of what utilizing integrative oncology tools can do alongside conventional oncology. Most kids with Azusa's diagnosis will live 1 to 2 years, or they'll get a cure, a minority with her type of aggressive leukemia. It is unheard of to be living off and on with the type of leukemia that Zuza had for 11 years.
Right.
And to have the quality of life that she was able to have for the last 6 years of her life, two to three of them living with 60 to 90% of leukemia in her body.
Amazing.
But, you know, traveling the world, having me fly to parties in LA for birthday parties. I mean, this girl lived.
She lived, yeah. Well, I can say the same about my daughter. When she finished her treatment when she was a young girl, she had about 10 years clear before her final diagnosis, and she didn't have to live in those 10 years. She really knew that she got something there, the ability to have life, and she made everything of it.
Yes, and I think when we first get a cancer diagnosis, of course, whether it's a child or an adult, we obsess about the word cure. Of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But our life is so much more than just a cure. It's the quality. And we realize that as parents who walk a journey with a child on a cancer journey, whether they got the cure or didn't, we realize how important the journey itself is. It's the quality of what you're able to do here and how you feel. That is why I hate that people think integrative oncology is something that you go to if things aren't going well in conventional medicine. It's something
Right.
that needs to start the same time to be
Yeah.
able to have that quality of life and to increase your chances of being able to stay in remission. And we have all the studies, you know, I wrote about all these studies and the data in my first book, A Parent's Guide to Childhood Cancer. And some of these things are so simple. The omega-3, the vitamin D. I mean, some of these things are so sunshine. But as soon as we put the label on it as integrative medicine, you know, a lot of conventional oncology makes us feel like, oh no, stay away from that. But they're actually doing a really big disservice to the patient.
Absolutely agree. Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we're going to talk much more about what integrative oncology can bring. Just let's start talking a little bit about your new book, because it's an extraordinary amalgam of material.
Yes.
Directly from Zuza herself, and from you. And the first thing that struck me is how extraordinary it is that you've got so much material directly from her. The insights and the view that a child has on their own situation is just, it's another world. And a real privilege to have a little look in there, a little window into what she was thinking all the while, because, you know, I have some of those insights with my daughter, but not so many. You've got half a book here. Amazing. And do you want to say a bit about how that content came about?
Yes. So the second book, Zuza's Way, her memoir, the first part, Zuza gave us so much insight into her life through her social media, right? She had 5 million followers across two
Wow.
platforms. And towards the end of her life, as she became a young lady, 13, 14 years old, it became very important to her to share her cancer journey with the world. And so a lot of, you know, those videos that I will treasure forever, gave me a lot of content. Being her mom and her best friend alongside her journey, I mean, down to, we slept in the same bed the last probably 3 to 5 years of her life because she needed me at night. So the closeness that I was able to experience with a daughter, I just never dreamed that I could have such a beautiful relationship so close. And then her couple close friends that she had shared all the text messages with me, right? As teen girls are doing Messenger and Snap and all the different ways that they communicate these days. And so I was able to take all of that and write I thought it was really important to write it all from her perspective, because that is how she wanted, with her language and her potty mouth, like just the exact same way that
Yeah, I loved it.
That she spoke, because I feel like that is what people will be able to relate to, not as mom telling the story of what it was. And then selfishly, I snuck in there a part two because I knew this would be my opportunity as a practitioner and as a mom to be able to sneak in their information, knowing that hopefully thousands of girls and women will have this book in their hands starting September 4th. I added a part two of everything I would want a little girl to a mom to a grandma to understand about health and emotional health and spiritual health. And so I feel like I say selfishly because I'm hoping that maybe not right away, maybe when it's needed, that these girls will open the second part and learn about the true definition of health and the, you know, from, and it's not cancer. It's not about cancer. It's just about how do we define health? How do we strive? How do we thrive in this world? And what are all the things that are being thrown at us in the world when it comes to our toxic food and all the makeup these girls are now putting on and all these medications that are just thrown at us and what kind of side effects do they have? So I put it all in there in very simple language, hoping that it helps as many girls as I can.
Amazing. Well, I sense as I began that second section, I felt you coming in with literally all guns blazing. I'm going to tell it like it is. You know, you just wanted to get the message out there, the warning. Look, come on, wake up. Look what's going on. And it's in black and white. There's lots of very bold pieces which really highlight the important bits. It's a powerful piece of writing. And I hope it does wake some people up because I agree with everything you wrote.
Girls don't realize, you know, I wrote in the second part that this isn't a book about cancer, but it really is, because what people don't understand is that all the things that we need to do, well, first of all, the biggest message when it comes to cancer is not just bad luck. I think that's the biggest thing that I want people to know. 5 to 10% of cancers are bad luck. Not up to 95% of cancer, all the little decisions that we make in our life help contribute to us either thriving or having some kind of a disease process. And so in one girl, that disease process may be cancer, but in another, it may be an autoimmune disease or acne or, you know, ulcerative colitis or all the kids are so sick these days. We have a sick generation of kids who are, it's predicted that this is the first generation of kids who are not going to outlive their parents. That's how sick our kids are. And I wanted these girls to learn that the decision you make not to eat that really crummy, ultra processed food, or the decision you make not to use that carcinogenic nail polish or, you know, foundation on your face, that's not just going to prevent cancer, that's going to prevent disease. And so I think that was the big message, is conventional medicine, in my opinion, as much as I'm grateful for it, does a really crappy job at this piece of teaching us what do we need to do to avoid disease. It's really just 15 minutes in a script that's usually harmful and masking whatever you're dealing with. And so I feel like since Zuza died, I have very little filters left. And I'm very vocal about the truth. I got to spend 10 years in the emergency department as a practitioner, and then I switched my whole career around to try to save my daughter. I realized she was not for me to save. In the process, I was able to open a medical practice where I've been able to support many kids and adults on a cancer and otherwise health journeys. And I just want like everybody to know that 15 minutes at your primary care doctor's office is not going to keep you healthy. There's so much more that we need to know, and the education is just not happening.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Your second section there, no filters. Yeah.
No, okay.
So I got it. Well, good. I mean, it needs to be said. It needs to be said, absolutely. These big lessons of a journey like yours, where, as you just said, Susan, was not yours to save in the end. That's a tough one to learn. We feel like that's our job. And then, is her dying a failure? Well, no. We did our best. You certainly did your best. And everything played out as it played out. And somebody's life turned out to be shorter than average. And that's how it was. I mean, it's incredibly hard to accept that, you know, we think we shouldn't be losing somebody and all that, you know, endless ideas of what should be happening, especially if we expect to die before our children. But it doesn't necessarily happen that way. And it's extraordinary what can come out of a short life. You know that. I know that. It's game-changing what can come out of a short life. And in so many ways, yes, these people have gone, but the ripples, the effects are big and can go a long way for a long time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think that our human brain likes to think that that wasn't right. Her life was cut short, right? People like to say that. But
yes,
who are we to say that? We're just human. We will not understand why it had to be that way until we get to cross over, and then we'll understand. We can only trust and have faith that her life was perfect in the way
exactly.
In the way that it was.
Yeah, you can only know these things by looking back later, really. You can see what came from it, and therefore, oh, well, none of that would have happened.
Yes, and yes, I... in the beginning, changed my career, went back to school, you know, because I thought I could save her life. But yes, nobody's life is for me to save. It's to support. And I breathe easier knowing that I left no rock unturned for her.
Absolutely. That's the thing. We need to lead these situations with a clear conscience. And if we didn't really make the effort, we won't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, So you've certainly done your bit. The phrase that I use over here regularly is trust in Allah, but tie your camel well. So you do your bit, but at the end of the day, it's not all up to you.
No.
So, you know, you've definitely tied your camel well. Yeah. So, extraordinary. So one of the things that comes out from Zuza's account, actually, is something which I know about you, which is that you go in there, you don't accept anything on face value from your medics or the rest of it, and you go and look things up, you find out for yourself, you go in there and ask the hard questions, you protest when you think the thing's not going the right way. She obviously admired that, came to admire it, came to trust it over time, which is great. Tell me a bit about it for yourself. What's driving it? What's the thing that gave you the confidence to feel that you might be right and a whole raft of oncologists might be wrong?
Yeah, the first time that I ever felt my intuition screaming at me was when we were told that Zuza, when she was first diagnosed, when she was 3.5 years old, that she needed a bone marrow transplant, which is very common for her type of leukemia.
Yeah.
And just overall, very risky procedure, but at 4, so much more risky. And for some reason, everything inside of me screamed no. I think the hardest thing for every human being is to know whether it's your intuition or fear. Because
exactly, yeah.
Both can scream at you.
Yes.
And so when I was so unsettled to go move forward with a transplant, I dove myself into research, trying to prove that she maybe didn't need it. And I found the research. I found something in the physical world other than just my intuition to back me up that this is, it's not a black and white decision, that it's very much gray. And if it's gray, I'm going to stick to my intuition and not give her a bone marrow transplant. She ended up having 5 years remission, which is the longest remission she ever had by us not doing a bone marrow transplant. And then ended up in her life when she relapsed having 3. We would have never had her till the age of 14 if we would have done that bone marrow transplant when she was younger. You could look at it the other way. Well, what if you would have done a bone marrow transplant and she would have gotten a cure? But I don't look at it that way. And then I just noticed, you know, I think I was in medicine, but I knew nothing about cancer. I think people think just because somebody's in medicine that they would know a little bit more about cancer. No, I didn't. But I realized very quickly how uncomprehensive her care was. From even the smallest things, the formula they wanted her to take when she was 4. The first 2 ingredients were like soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup. And that was supposed to be her nutrition during cancer. And the more I learned to become this integrative oncology practitioner, the more I learned to trust myself. So it was an evolution. And then I think the other really big risk I took was when she had her first bone marrow transplant, we were told every child, every adult gets mucositis, which is like ulcerations in your mouth all the way from the mouth to the anus. Horrible, horrible. Yeah. You can't avoid it. It is what it is. We use lots of morphine. We'll get through it. And at this point, I had already been studying and becoming the practitioner that I was for 5 years. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to get Zuza through her bone marrow transplant and avoid mucositis. It's never been done, but like these things, if we do these things, that makes sense to me in my brain. And I told the team, they were super annoyed. I had fingers waved at me.
Yep.
And she didn't get mucositis. And she had 2 more bone marrow transplants after that. She never got mucositis. And I took that protocol that I learned on my daughter and applied it to other kids and adults in the world going through bone marrow transplants. And they didn't get mucositis. And so
I've heard of that.
That helped me trust myself. That helped me trust myself. I had really beautiful mentors, integrative oncology mentors in the world that I learned so much from. I just learned by being in the system. You know, I say as a patient, because as a mom of a child.
Yeah, it's the same, Maria.
I just learned how many mistakes are made. No one's ever going to take care of your child like you think they are.
Exactly.
And they're not the enemy. It's just we need to create a team, whether they want to or not. And sometimes they wanted to be a team and sometimes they didn't. But I just really stuck to my guns, knowing that I'm doing everything for her, for her best outcome.
Yeah. And tell me, with your success with mucositis, did your cancer team learn anything or learn to trust you anymore?
I don't know if they learned to trust me anymore, but they certainly weren't vocal about it. And they certainly didn't ask me, what did you do so we can help other patients?
No. Well, that I can say they wouldn't, but they might at least have given you a bit more respect for your views.
Yeah, I like our team. Our local team, we ended up being a team. I mean, probably because I would have had it no other way. I was quite, you know.
Pushy.
I was.
Yes, good. You've got to be. I mean, yeah. If you're not pushy, you don't get anywhere because the system is pushy. Yeah. It'll push you out.
Yes. And so I would say that I liked our team. I liked our team. We ended up being a team. And I think also, unfortunately, the way it works, not just in my experience, but my experience leading other families, is the less options a child has, the more willing the conventional team is for you to do stuff, right?
Right.
So, and that's not fair. They should be on board from the beginning. And, you know, I work with lots of oncologists with families across the world, and there are some amazing, really open human beings out there. But I would say for the most part, it's still, I feel like families get bullied and are told, don't do anything. You're going to get in the way of treatment.
Yeah, it's pretty dire here in the UK. I've got to say that when it comes to children, basically no practitioner will go anywhere near them for fear of what will happen to them. They can't afford to do it. And so the parents are basically out there on their own and just struggling to find any stick to grasp onto. It's a desperate situation, really. It hasn't changed, really, since we were there 30 years ago.
I have worked with some families from the UK as like a consultant to help them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the families who are able to incorporate both worlds are the families who are not scared to make waves.
Right. I think that's about it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Something else that's there, it comes up in the book and you state it very clearly about, you say, both can be true, suffering and joy. both can be true simultaneously, funnily enough. This doesn't really compute for most people. I wondered if you'd talk about it a bit.
Yeah, so it's probably the biggest lesson that I learned from Zuza. I mean, her whole cancer journey, but mostly the last 2 years of her life, she had the most suffering she ever had on her journey, as her body just couldn't do anymore. But she also had the most joyful moments, amazing moments. And I took that into my grief apprenticeship, that I am suffering. This pain is unbearable, yet we bear it. But I have had joy this year. It'll be a year in September that I've been able to breathe without her. I didn't think that was possible, to breathe without her. And she showed me that both can be true. She got through the hard moments knowing and looking forward to being able to have more life, whether that meant another trip, a conversation with a friend, an ability to not feel nauseous. And so I get through the really hard, big waves that take me down, whether it's for an hour or days, knowing that I'm still here. And that means that I still have purpose. And I can, as she did, live my life with both suffering and joy.
Amazing. Yeah, look, there's this thing about, a short life like that, where it can sort of pointlessness can come in, and you're not careful. Like, what's the point of learning some stuff when you're, probably at the diocese, all this kind of thing. And of course, life's not like that at all. It's about now. And what are we doing now?
Yes.
And and the relationship to grief, I feel, is exactly the same thing. It's very much about now, that we as humans have so many ideas about how we should relate to these things. We don't really know, but we just have all these ideas. I can personally remember suddenly realizing, this is in the first weeks after my daughter died. Oh, I haven't been thinking about her for the last hour. And I could see a part of me saying, would like to be saying, oh, you've just forgotten about it. Or so, this was something bad. And of course, actually, it was just a blessed relief for an hour or so from being a bit tortured by the whole thing. And there's a process going on there. If we can be hands off and not allow all those shoulds, shouldn'ts, I ought to be like this, I ought to be more this, I mustn't do any of this at this time because it's not there. Whatever it is, we've got so many ideas about this. If we can allow the process to do its work, It's a nasty old roller coaster ride for sure, but we perpetuate the whole suffering unless we just let it work.
We have a lot of judgments about how we should be grieving, and I completely agree. We just need to learn. That's why I call it a grief apprenticeship.
Right.
We need to learn from our own grief apprenticeship. A lot of these feelings, I think in life as humans, we're taught to like squish down or even breathe away. We just need to learn how to sit with them. We need to allow them to be and get curious about, why does it feel so sad or so hard? Or why is today anger? Like, welcome anger. What do you have to teach me today? Also, another thing that I've learned is, even in the joyful moments, like the very joyful moments, they'll never be the same kind of joy, because when you have such a moment of goodness, then you're like, but they're not here, right? Like, I wish they were here experiencing this joyful moment. It's just, there definitely will always be a before and an after, But I do believe that we signed up for this. I believe that our souls needed to experience this. And we judged this as bad, obviously, the loss of a child, the death of a child. But I think it just is something that our souls need to experience, the opposite of what I believe the afterlife will be, pure love. And this definitely, I think, child loss, it doesn't get more opposite than that.
Right. But it's like there's a scale. I sort of feel there's an opening there, which on one side of it is the hard stuff. On the other side is the love, if you like, and our ability to experience both. They go hand in hand. And if we want to shut out one side, we'll shut out the other. So this does, in the most brutal way, open us up, in fact.
Yes, I often say that I now can say that I'm having such a more complete human experience, because I have experienced pure joy having her the day she was born, the days we learned she was in remission, and now I'm able to have the opposite experience of like the biggest suffering of knowing that I won't physically see her again, but it's the full human experience. I'm living it. And I think it just makes us a more capable human, or at least I would hope to. I think that's part of the purpose, is for us to be able to relate to other people, for me to think about, you know what, when I'm at the grocery store, there's probably a lot of other people walking around with grief. I never thought about that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I think more human is the way to, I would describe it, basically. And it's interesting. And of course, that judgment of like, well, what could be worse than losing a child? It's bad. That's inevitable. We can't get away from that. But at a certain point, I find I've got a much longer perspective than you have, of course. But at a certain point, sort of confusion sets in, because if we can somehow embrace what's happened and not push it away, just embrace it as it is, allow it to be there, then life goes on and more and more things happen from that event going forward, you know. And at a certain point, there's so many good things that have come out of it that it's rather confusing. Well, was it good or was it bad, or was it just something that happened, actually?
It was just something that happened, that it was like, we are just human beings. Our brain is not able to comprehend how all this fits together. And it's part of the piece of what just happened. And it was, if we believe that God is perfect, the universe is, then we have to trust that this was also perfect. Their life was perfect.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So back to the book. Getting all over the place. You kind of sum up a big summary at the end of looking at all the aspects of integrative medicine, the way it looks at people. We've got these labels for the different sections, but you do point out it's not actual separate sections, we're one thing, but it has these different aspects, you know, body, mind, emotion, spirit, and you address each of those separately, very sensibly. And you wrote at the end, there was the spirit section, and you actually said that you kind of hesitated slightly about putting it in at all, because of course in the world we exist in, where science rules and all this stuff, it's like you're immediately in the territory of woo-woo. But nonetheless, as you point out, science even has quite a bit to say about this area now. Science and spirituality are beginning to sound a little bit similar, and which is fascinating. And of course, this is such a key element of who we are. Do you want to just say a bit about why the spirit part of it is an essential part of integrative medicine? It's an essential part of caring for human beings, and shouldn't be left out.
Yes. So when I went to Zuza's account, when I decided I was going to write this book, and I asked her 5 million followers, what questions do you want answered in this book? What are you wondering? The number one question, like 90% of girls and women wanted to know, is where did she get the strength to keep going and to be so truly positive? And it was such a hard question to answer. But the truth is, as I wrote the book, I realized it was the answer is in her what I call spiritual terrain. Zuza truly believed that she was going to be okay. To the point where even where medically I knew as a practitioner, like we don't have a cure, she was so convincing, Mama, I'm gonna be okay. That more than any mistletoe or high dose vitamin C treatment or the order of her conventional medicine, more than anything, it is her spirit. It was her belief that she's going to be okay, and her love of life, her purpose that kept her here for 14 beautiful years, probably 12 years past what anybody predicted. And so that is also such a big part of our health. Whatever your story is, we all have different stories, we all have different suffering. There's been so many people who have written me through her account, other girls who have cancer or their parents going through something or suicidal ideation, all these, all we all, right? We all have our own stories. But if we can have a purpose and a trust in ourselves that we're going to be okay, that is everything. That is everything. And it's such a big part of our health. I can often tell when a patient comes to me with a cancer diagnosis if they're going to have a good journey based on their like their true belief, not this fake positivity, this
No.
whole cancer fake positivity, like that is, but this true belief of like, this is my journey and I'm going to do the best I can with it. That makes all the difference. Where she got that from is even harder to answer.
Right. Yeah. Maybe from you. Extraordinary. Yeah. Well, I completely agree with you. We're focusing very much on this at the moment. We've got a campaign called Four Men at the moment, which is four extraordinary survivors. None of them should be alive. And amazing stories. Just gobsmacking stories. And they're four completely different characters, really different. And they did different things. But the things that are in common were exactly what you're talking about. They're like dying. No, thanks. We're going to sort this. And the spirit aspect of it, and along with it, the psychology and the emotions and everything else that lines up behind that, that's key to it for all of them. And I'm trying to get the interest of men actually in integrative medicine, because they're not, are they really? And why? Well, they're horribly programmed with this kind of abusive, be tough, look after yourself, don't whinge stuff that has come down for centuries and centuries. But so I'm hoping that some men who are also being told that you're going to die are going to think, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Maybe I should take a look. That's something I'm excited about, but it does need chatting about. And I'm very excited, by the way, that these kind of elements of healing have come out of the closet since Kelly Turner, essentially. Her work was really opened the door to it, going from the one completely oddball person that you heard about, who did something extraordinary, to realizing actually there's lots of them. And the more there are, the more there are, funnily enough. The more people read about it and think, hey, wait a minute, then you get even more of them. And it's grown and multiplied. It's beginning real momentum now of people who are having extraordinary survival. And it's kind of like not so extraordinary anymore. It's almost becoming normal amongst those kind of people who are prepared to look outside the box and do whatever's needed to be done.
Yes, it's an untapped human area that we can rely more on for healing. Mm-hmm. And people are realizing it because they're able to see other stories, which gives them hope.
Yes.
And gives them a real look that this is possible, that this is possible. No matter what I'm told, how many months I have,
this is possible. Well, that's how humans work. You know, one person runs the mile and whatever it was, and then suddenly lots of people can do it. But until somebody's done it, it's not something that can be done. So, extraordinary. So, and guess what? We're out of time already. Look, very pleased your new book's coming out. I encourage everybody to go out and get a copy, Zusa's Way by Dagmara Bynoe. And it'll be a great read. It is a great read. I loved reading all your daughter's firsthand stuff. And I loved your passionate call to women and young people to wake up to what's actually going on out there in the world and on so many fronts, from social media to toxins to, just everything.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on today, Dagmara.
Thank you so much. It will actually be available in the UK.
Excellent.
On Amazon, and it comes out September 4th.
Lovely.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dagmara. Lovely to see you. Dagmara is such an immense force for change in this arena of childhood cancer. It's such an honour to know her, and I encourage all of you to look at her website, zuzasway.com, that's ZUZASWAY, zuzasway.com, and to buy her books, A Parent's Guide to Childhood Cancer and Zusa's Way. Thanks for listening. As always, I'll be back again next week with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye. Thank you.